So we're in the middle of preparing for Amalek, and we're now just starting the Malbim, saying about the Rish'ut of Amalek. The Malbim here in Perachaf Hei says there are five reasons for the Melchama. One of them, we just finished saying, is to conquer a land, to marchiv et agvul, to be able to expand the border. And Rachel, he said, it's clear Amalek was not having that purpose, because the Pasuk says, Asher karcha baderech. Okay, that's number one. That's what the Malbim says. Because we were not Be'eretz no Shavit. What's a second reason that you have to fight, explains the Malbim? It is what we call, what's called preventive, either preemptive strike, or you're afraid that if there's a people that are near your land, they're going to come and try to conquer you. So you preempt, and you make sure that what? You make sure that they don't come and conquer you, correct? That's number two. We'll call that the preemptive strike. Right? There's a preemptive strike, and the reason why there would be a preemptive strike, explains the Malbim, is because if you're very close, Yikarev La'artsi, very close, we're afraid you're going to try to come and conquer me. So then you preempt. Okay? The language of the Malbim, Imi Karev El Gvul Artso, Shu Yarei Peni Rashat Artso, maybe you're going to come to take my land, like Melchemet Sichon Ve'og. So tell me why this is not true. Asher Karcha Baderech, but where were they now? Who remembers? We're reading the Pesukim. Not only Baderech, but not else. Where did we just leave? Bitseitchem Mitzrayim, correct? Is that what it says? Where does it say that? Remember, we have to read the Pesukim to know the Pesukim inside. That's why I'm hoping I have to look it up. Okay, the end of Parsha Ki Teche, which is Parsha Zachor. Zachor et Asher Asa Lecha Amalek. The first thing we said is Baderech. The next thing is Bitzeitchem Mitzrayim, says the Malbim. Right? They're nowhere near our land. We're nowhere near their land that they should come and attack us, because we just left Mitzrayim. Number three, says the Malbim. Im Asu Imo Milchama Vid Garubo. Which means what? You've already had experience of war, and they're provoking you already. Okay? You with me? So then, you then what? You go at it with war. Right? That there's some sort of feud that is happening between you. Right? We've had that in many world wars throughout the years, that we just don't get along. It's not like we have a peace treaty with everyone. Right? You keep on going, you just don't get along with each other. So you fight. That's number three reason why you fight. If you have a long-standing riv b'nechem, a machlokas between them, it's a tradition that you're fighting. Okay, one more second. So what does the next part of the pasuk say? Pasuk Yerchet, what does it say? Asher. Was this a long-standing machloket? What's the language of the pasuk, which we did last class? Asher Korcha Baderech. What did we say? One of the interpretations of Korcha was, the Malbim says, Mikre. What does Mikre mean? Just by chance. They chanced upon us. This is not a long-standing feud between the United States and Iran, or between Israel and Iran, that of a nuclear that we've been fighting for years. This is something, Asher Korcha Baderech. Just by chance, Derech Mikre, and there was no Reed Ben Echem. Go ahead, Racheli, what's your question?
For the third reason that you have a long-standing feud, are you allowed to be the aggressor if there's no immediate threat?
I mean, again, we're not going over right now. That's a separate Tanakh class that we can have about what are the rules of war, when you're allowed to give a preemptive strike, When do you have to send letters? We're not going over those rules now of Eretz Yisrael. We're talking about now showing that Amalek fought with us because they were pure evil. And what we're saying, the Malbim saying that in military strategy, there are five possible reasons why there should be a war. And we're going to prove that what the Pesukim are telling us is that each one is saying that this would have been a good reason. This would have been a good reason for them to fight. But you see very clearly that that's not what's driving them to fight us. What's going to be driving them to fight us is pure hatred. Okay? So that's what we said, number one. If it would just be that they want to conquer their land and extend their land. But we know it's Badera, a preemptive strike, because we're getting close to their land. And they're afraid, so they want to give us a deterrent. No, we're B'tit Chem Mitzrayim. There's a long-standing feud. There's no long-standing feud here. Tasher Korcha Badera. This Malbim I'm giving you is worth millions. You put it in your wallet. That's why I have my George Costanza wallet. George Costanza, all the good Divrei Torah. You put it in the wallet. It's worth millions. This Malbim is worth millions. Number four. Number four is sometimes you fight to show off your military prowess. Just to show off. To show off. Why do you fight? Because you're strong. You want to show how strong you are. Therefore, you fight. It happens. Laharot kocho ugiburato. Right? To show your tremendous strength. What's the next part of the pasuk, ladies? And therefore, as is, to be able to show your strength, what are you going to do? Are you going to fight the weakest enemy, or are you going to show, you're going to be panim al panim? You're going to take that person who you think is strong, and you're going to beat him. Right? Lahavdil, any type of playoff game, any type of sporting event, if you beat them at their weakest, when their four best players are not there, it doesn't show you that you're such a good team. Specifically, the Super Bowl that's coming on, that you have Seattle and you have, they're both very good teams. They're, you know, if Russell Wilson was out and Tom Brady was out, like, who cares? Then forget about the deflating footballs and all that stuff. Okay, now, so therefore you would fight, don't worry about it. Oh, it's the Super Bowl. Oh,
it's
the World Cup. The World Cup of American football. Got it?
But there's also a halftime show, and it's not like sports.
Halftime show.
Also, they have the best commercials.
The millions of dollars for commercials. What a waste of money. So it says, La'arot kochok v'rato. So it says, the Malbim would be panim el panim. So what is the next part of the pasuk? Asher korcha baderech. Then what? What do we say? Are they trying to show the strength? Are they doing it panim al panim? Or is it vayizani becha kol anechesh shalim achrecha ve'ata ayev v'yagel. So it can't be they're showing their strength, because what are they doing? They're picking on the weak. Tell me they're coming from the back. That's not showing your strength. That shows that you're a weasel. Vayizaneh milashon zanav, the tail. In Kol Nechashalim, we have learned that you switch up the shin and the law from the word chalash. Some wanted to say, Rashi had said chasrei koach, because of sin. But, v'atayet v'yageh. The fifth and final reason, which many of us know, is what we call a jihad. What does jihad mean? Religious war. Says the Malbim, Ba'avur hadat, Shechoshev sheyimatzei chein b'nei elokav im yachid et abiltim aminim bo. I don't know if you saw, there was a Channel 5, right after one of these crazy things here. I don't know who it was. He was talking to a radical fundamentalist. And talks about it. This guy's like, if you don't believe, if you don't follow our, what's it called? The Sharia law? Is that what it's called? Right? What's it called?
Sharia.
That was pretty close. Right? If you don't follow that law, then, you should kill people. And I'm like, okay. Right? So what the Malbim said, Ba'avur adat, shechoshim shimatzei chein b'nei elokav. Why do people fight? Sometimes because for a religious war, that if I go and eradicate the non-believers, so that I'm going to please the gods. Okay? להשמיד את המאמינים, people that are not believing. What purpose? לצורכן בעיני אלוקיו, says the Malbim. What's the next part of the Pasuk, Racheli? Pasuk that we're just continuing on, that the Malbim is explaining word by word, saying how each word is specifically gold to tell me that the Melchama of Amalek is not for a specific reason. We had just said that they were not trying to show their strength and the prowess of La'arot, Kocho Gvurato, but rather it's by Yisanei B'chako Nachshim Achrecha V'ata Yefi Ageya. What's the next last three words of Pasuk Yilchet? Please find it, because the point is that everything I'm saying is Mamash Meduyak in the text itself. Velo Yirei Elokim, which means what? Is this a jihad?
No.
No, you know why? Because they don't fear God. They don't fear God. Therefore, explains the Malbim, so then why were they fighting against us? We're good? So far we're good, we got the five reasons, cool. You can read this psukim, you can put it like, you can't get any more clear within the psukim. So what is the reason? Can I erase this now so I can start off another two reasons? I'm erasing. In 5, 4, 3, 0. Okay, now, I want to make sure everyone's awake tonight. Everyone has to be awake, we're learning Torah. In Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, in the capital J. Explains the Malbim. So what is the reason for this war? Number one, as we have said till now, when, if you remember correctly, what did we say till now? Well, we had said till now, and he says it a little differently, that there is a dual focus on the war. Depending if you're looking at Parshat Bishalach or Parshat Kitetze, we know that it's a milchama l'Hashem b'Amalek midor, which is what? That they're being kofir. So Amalek, what is there for? What is there? Says the Malbim, the reason why they're fighting is kfira be'elokim. It's a milchama l'Hashem. They do not believe in God. Ve'lo yere elokim. And therefore what? Because as we know what happened, what we say in the Shira every single morning, what do we say in the Shira every morning, in the morning? Shamu Amim Yir Gazun, right after Kriyat Yam Suf. Shamu Amim Yir Gazun. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Chil Chaz Yoshvei Pelashet. Anybody know what I'm talking about? This is in our daily morning prayers, a later edition. The Shira. You don't know what I'm talking about? Open up your own scroll center and make sure you start learning. Parshat B'Shalach. That says what? That all the nations heard. About what? About the tremendous miracle at Kriyat Yam Suf. And what happened? They all got trembled. And all the nations believed in the wonders of God, both in the Yam and the Mitzrayim. And what did they do? It comes back to the Korcha Baderech. What did they do? They wanted to cool everybody down. Okay? Read the language of the Malbim. For who ikshiach libo mirat Hashem v'yomar lo hu, wasn't God v'ratza la'arot l'kol yoshvei tevel she'in b'yicholet v'Hashem lo shi'am miyado. Let me show you. You think it's all God? I'm going to show you. Look what we're going to do. He can't, what are we going to do? We're going to attack these people and God can't save us. Can't save them, excuse me. Ushekol anisime maase lahat v'chokhmat Moshe. V'lachin lo amad b'fanav v'asher hu itzdanin gadol u'baki b'kshav. What does he say? All of these things were all what? Just witchcraft. So again, what happened? All the nations started believing. Amim. Ma'aminim achshav. Why are they ma'aminim? They're ma'aminim because they saw Kriyat Yam Suf. Right, all the things that happened in Aseret HaMakot. Great things. So what did Amalek come in and do? Says, forget about God. This was all what? This was all witchcraft. This was all Moshe's tremendous chokhmah. It's not God. That's number one, what they're fighting about. Kfirah b'Elokim. Number two, says the Malbim, is a certain hatred and grudge that they had against Am Yisrael. For who? Because of their forefathers. And what happened? From who? All the way, right? Pure sin'ah li Yisrael. Just a pure hate. Why are they hating? For a grudge. From who? Who's their great, 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 great grandfather? Because of what Yaakov did to Esau, and he took his bracha. The Alkane. Okay? The Alkane. V'aya baniach Hashem lokecha lecha mikol eivecha misaviv ba'aret asher Hashem lokecha notem lecha nachala l'mishtar timchet zecha malek mitachat Hashemayim lo tishkach. This is the Malbim for now, for today. Now the I have a lot of questions also. One second, I want to continue going. But I want to hear your question. Just give me a second. Answer now how to see this with a lot of the things that we've talked about already, but first I want to take your question. We're showing now how this is Esav being connected as the descendant of Amalek. We're going to show some of the things that we've already said to now what the Malbim says about this view. Well, it says that because Amalek haya ben Eliphaz, which is the Bechor of Esav, the direct descendant. Okay, even though it's a couple generations after, he's called on his name. Just gonna give me a second, just to try to finish this. Rachel, can I just finish this Malach, and I'm happy to take. Okay, so if you remember correctly, we had started talking about the juxtaposition. One of the very important tools that you learn is the address. What does it mean, the address, Rachel? You always have to see where Amalek is positioned. And we started talking about it already. If you remember correctly, is it okay? I'm going to erase the top part. I didn't even ask you, I'm going to tell you I'm erasing the top part. You should have it already. If you remember correctly, it's very important. Very important to know what's right next to it. What's right next to Amalek? We had said it's in. They're really many different places. The ones we focused on is in Parshas Ki Tetzeh and B'Shalach. It mentions it's also in Shmuel when it comes to Shaul, which is and definitely we're going to talk about where obviously in Purim when we deal with Mordechai and Haman. Right? Those are many of the. There will be other circumstances. So Ki Tetzeh, we said, what comes right before Amalek? Right, the word before. What comes right before Amalek? We had said the trickery of what? Of the measures. Right? Of the mishkal, of not doing it, trickery. Being able to do what? To take the weights and be deceitful. In B'Shalach, what came right before Amalek? Everyone go and look back again. What did we say? What do we say? La Briyot.
Right
before that. What's there? Really, you remember?
It's when Moshe hits the rock.
Good, the hitting of the rock. Right before, right before. The hitting of the rock. And what's the last words that Hashem says? That they say? Hayesh Hashem, La Briyot. They had a question of what? Ayesh b'Hashem b'kirbeinu imayim. Right? After everything, they're saying, is God really within us? The one other piece, again in Parshas Ki Tetzé, right before the weights of stealing, Lo yelecha b'kischa evan v'aven, right before that is what? Is the concept of Yibum. Right before that, at the beginning of the Parshia, is Yibum. Everyone knows what Yibum is? In English, I think it's called the Levi Right Marriage. Right? For your art scroll lovers there. Doesn't matter, just say Yibum. Okay? And this is the Malbim wants to explain all of these different juxtapositions. Why is it there? What's the connection? We started explaining this last class, but I want to tell you what he said based on what we talked about. I don't want to read everything, I just want to say, this is what he wants to say. Ki Amalek kaya ben Eliphaz b'chor Esav. Amalek was the son of Eliphaz, the b'chor of Esav. Even though it's a couple generations later, still called on his name. Ukeshi yatsu b'mitzrayim al dat labo tekef l'eretz Yisrael. When Am Yisrael wanted to come to Eretz Yisrael, leaving Mitzrayim, and they would have gone directly to Eretz Yisrael, would not have passed go, would not have gone to jail. Monopoly reference, anybody? Thank you. This could be Monopoly Junior. I don't know, help me out here. Im lo asua ego v'lo shalchum ragim. Obviously, if we wouldn't have done chid ego or chid maragim. And Eretz Yisrael was given by Hashem to whom? Abraham. And then it came in Yerusha to Yitzchak. And who was the Bechor of Yitzchak? Help me out. Who is the Bechor of Yitzchak? Esav haya Bechor Yitzchak. Esav was the Bechor of Yitzchak. Eliphaz was the Bechor of Esav. Eliphaz was the Bechor of Esav. And he is coming. He should have the Yerusha for him and all of his children. And explains the Malbim. This is the connection between the concept of the Inyan of the Bechor, which comes right before the Parshia, the Bechor. And then right afterwards, we said the Bechor. Right? The Bechor is the trickery. And also the Bechor, which is the whole thing with the evil, because the Bechor has the first shot. Right afterwards, if I want to say the word after this, is what? In Parsha Ki Tavo, the beginning of Ki Tavo is what? Bikurim, which is also the first fruit of Eretz Yisrael. Pretty darn cool. No, not good. Good. It's saying good. You're saying good, Rabbi Malbim. Continue going. V'chein ha-ben ha-bechor, just like the Bikurim. What do you say? You say that my forefathers gave it to me. I realize this is the beginning, but God gave it to me. Also the Bein HaBechor, he's the one who's Kadosh L'Avodat Hashem, and he's the one of what? A filling in for his forefathers. And even if by the Bechor you want to say, the Malbim says they took away the Avodah, there's still Kedusha, they need Pidgin. And therefore, explains the Malbim as follows. Therefore, when Yaakov said to Esav, sell me the Bechorah, so the Malbim wants to know, why was Echisit le'Esav le'vazot et avodah? Right, the famous question, which is, what is the use of the selling? And why is Esav scorning the avodah? If you want to tell me, because he sold the Bechorah, who adin mevazeh et avodah v'nifsav me'lavo v'tachzor le'Yaakov? So what is going on? There's a chazal that says that Esav mishoch b'or lato haya ve'yfer brit Avraham. He wasn't. Haya pasul avodah. V'chein kozar achrav azvu et mitzvat milah. That somehow Esav was mivaze in the brit milah. In the brit of Avraham. Look, in Israel, that we know that we are very fastidious when we deal with the mitzvah of milah. V'yitzchak lo yadam izeh. V'yanotim lo la'akriv korbanot. says the Malbim Yaakov was worried about Chilul Kodashim. Ve'afal Pikein. It's a unique chidush. Lo ratzal lesaper la'aviv. He wanted to tell Yitzchak his father. Lachain, he bought the Bechora in order that Esav himself would not bring the Korbanot. And therefore, when Yitzchak hears from Esav that he sold the Bechora to Yaakov, and therefore he was mivazeh, he scorned the Avodah, he says, Gam Baruch Yiyeh, because he saved him from the Avon, the sin of the iniquity of Chilul HaKodeshim. And the Esav was made for your Brit, didn't like the Avodah, because he was kofer, b'mitziut Hashem uvashkachato uvolam haba. And that's what he said, Shani holech lamut v'lama zilez v'lama ze li bechora. Because he heard from Yaakov, Shamar sholech l'chayim, that the physical life is not the long life. Yaakov is an ishtam yoshev o'alim. Okay. Therefore he chose the physicality because he didn't believe in the next world. V'nipsa shenipsa me'abachora al yidei she'efir brit. V'amalek went with the shita of his great-great-grandfather. And he was kofer b'mitziut Hashem u'vashkachato gamki. He continued the same exact tradition. Just like Esav didn't want the Bechora. And therefore what did he do? He made himself to be mefir, didn't care about the brit milah, and was kofer b'Hashem. In the olam of Haba, therefore didn't care about olam hazeh much either. All he cared about was the guf and the esav, etc. So Amalek continues in that shita. Again, obviously, all these other things then compares about the juxtaposition where he says, "Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu emayim," the keshet of the midot, because everything that was going on is they don't believe in the hashkacha protit, the mikra. That's the classic remez of Rak Mehashem, that Amalek was coming for the concept of bichora, for the bikurim, because it all goes back to the hatred of what was taken from them. Okay. So this is the shita of the Malb. Very, very interesting shita. That there was no, the five reasons of hatred wasn't proper. But rather it was clear that we had seen from the psukim that it's a milchama l'Hashem, and it's also pure hatred stemming back from really following their great-great-great-grandfather of against Hashkacha Hashem. And we started, any questions on this? People like that. I think it's cool because it really just explains everything. Right? Literally, they're kofer bashkacha, and that's why Amalek's next to the midot, and that's why the whole concept we have talked about, vayizanev b'cha, that they threw up the brit milah, which is like really just graphic. But the concept is they were basically going back to the psul kochim that happened. It was mipazeh. By selling Bechora, he's Mibazer, the Avodah, he's Pasul from the Avod. Pretty darn cool. When Chazal say that he was Moshuch Be'orlato, and if it was Mefer B'rit Avram, Pasul Avodah, and everything continue from there. Yes, Racheli.
Did one thing didn't have Bechira Avod, she felt like they were programmed that
I don't know, I guess some people would say the same thing about Hamas kids and these
like,
kind of things also.
But does that mean that...
Like, I'm not so sure. It sounds like to me that they did.
But they don't have
meaning they chose... I think the answer is, first of all, it's a good question. That will be, not next class, but it'll be the class after that, which is a good question, which is, can we accept Gerim from Amalek? That's built into your question. Which comes back again to Haman's grandchildren learning in Bnei Brak. So we'll see that there is a concept of Kabbalat Geirim Bamalek. We're going to have to... What? Yeah. Dang. That's what we're going to get to. There's a reason. The myth of the madness. Yes, Ms. Iska.
But if you would say that Amalek comes from Esau, and ever since Amalek, we have trouble with descendants of them, that it would...
be in reason three, where you say that there's just like a friction between them and they just keep
fighting. Brief. Mm-hmm. I hear the question. What is this, the pasuk over there? What did you say that concept? It was Asher Kar Chavaderech. What was the language over there? Yeah, the number three.
Yeah, but it was
just by chance now. I guess that, I hear that. I guess that answers your question also, which means that they had their free choice, even if the great-grand, like, Lahavdil, Lahavdil, we have a choice now to get along with Germany now. It's literally 70 years from the Holocaust. And, you know, if you would have said 70 years ago that we would have any type of relations with them, yeah, it's a chiddush atzum. But even though there's a lot there of Germans and even Poles, a lot of people are revolving years against going to these Poland trips. Because look what you're doing, you're building up the whole Polish economy. And there's many, many Poles that were not Sadiq and Gomorrah, to say the least. So I think it's connected to that piece, that even if in the past they had a reeve, these generations with Mieska, these generations didn't necessarily have that bad blood, if you will, straight out.
Said that it was by chance
they're
saying, but I was referring to the first attack that happened.
The attack. They were talking about that attack at the time of Amalek. So, as opposed to
this first war, every time we've had a feud with Amalek, there is a feud. Like now when we fight Amalek, it's not by chance. It's
So again, the question there again that comes back to the different reasons. To understand what korcha means, what you had said, what you're saying, what you're both saying, is that is this not a contradiction? I mean, on one level, we're saying there hasn't been a feud, but then you're saying they're fighting us because of their hatred from the past. So they're saying it is a feud. That's your question. The question is, can you answer up like I was saying, that in theory they're could have been, meaning at first, I don't know if it's at first glance, which means that even though the great-great-grandfather had that, they had a choice not to be that way. And therefore, that would be the karcha. I'm not sure if it's an inner contradiction. I can hear how it is, but I can also hear how you could put them together, meaning that they will claim that it's not just asher karcha, they're going to claim it's a longer standing feud. Back to your answer, which is they had free choice to say, okay, that was the past, and you know that's how I was trying to put the two, but I think the question is maybe better than the answer, but I hear it. Definitely hear it. What I want to start with next time, which is on Thursday, is this idea of Timche and Zecher Amalek.
We don't have it on Sunday?
What, today? Thursday? What did I say? Next time will be Thursday? Or
is Sunday a bridge?
No, Sunday.
I don't think
it's
Sunday.
Sunday.
Thursday we have semester break.
Hold on. This coming Sunday we have class, and the next Thursday we don't.
Okay. Next Thursday
is Sunday. Yeah. Well, next Thursday we're off. That's like bottom line is, we'll talk about it on Sunday. On Sunday, we will then talk about this concept of Timche et Zecher Amalek, the concept of how do we fulfill this concept of Mechiyat Zecher Amalek? Does it mean to destroy property? If it means to destroy property, we're going to have a very, very big question when we start looking at Megillat Esther. Because if you look at Megillat Esther in Parak Tet, it says that the Jews killed and was Me'abed Chamesh Meot Ish. But what happened? From Beit Amalek. And then Pasuk Tet Vav, Vayikalua Yehudim Asher Mishushan. And they killed 300 people in Perek Tet, Pasuk Tet Vav, but Uval Bizah lo shalchu et yadam. What happens? The spoils, they kept the spoils. Everyone with me?
Are we not allowed to keep spoils from Amalek?
Thank you, that's exactly what I just asked.
No, you're not allowed to keep company.
No, but specifically here, if it's target, hello, if it's what? If the people we are killing are from Amalek, how is it possible? So it could very well be that's what the pasuk means. What does that mean? Since the Jews were killing Amalek, they did not take those spoils. Everyone with me? Because it says, "Va'abizal lo shalchu et yadam." However, it's not so clear. Okay?
Do we still have the halacha today or not?
We're going to talk about it right now. That's what we're going to talk about. So it might be beautiful. The pasuk says, "Va'abizal lo shalchu et yadam." The question is, do we know who Amalek is? That's what we're going to get to. Okay? But, Rabbi Abachai is going to say, "Oh, that's the reason why they didn't take the spoils, because it's Amalek. And you can't get Hana from the possessions of Amalek. What's the problem?" Seemingly, the pasuk is Timche. So what would be Timche mean? Not just not get Hana, but do what? Not only not to take it for yourself, but you got to get rid of it. You got to obliterate it. So why did they only do the mitzvah halfway? Okay? This is the question of Rabbeinu Bachai. We will see the Rashi and Ibn Ezra don't go that way. And then we will try to understand what the mitzvah actually is of Michiat Amalek, a machloket in the Rishonim. Please God, we will do that.
I know it is.
Everyone should have a good name if you're leading at this
month. Hugo Darling?
Where is it? Like in an old city.
You know when you walk down to the old city and there's like pillars?
Oh, I know where it is.
Should be.